Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. And we may say unto him, what doest thou?
Psalm 36. We're going to start at Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. Transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Consider the flattery of the wicked. He flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found. Be hateful. Yeah, I think of 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read down, starting in verse 10. St. John chapter 3, verse 10. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. When we think of the flattery of the wicked, as we read down here, we're going to see that Satan himself is spoken of as that wicked one. Verse 11, for this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Consider Satan as the wicked one. What's not flattering himself in his own eyes when, according to the layout given in the book of Isaiah, was he not flattering himself, the wicked one, as Lucifer, when he said, I will be like the Most High? It is written, verse 14, Isaiah 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. Verse 13 declares of the very thoughts of that wicked one as Lucifer, for he fell. But thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. And yet God made it clear, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. Oh, but that wicked one, as Lucifer, he flattered himself in his own eyes, declaring that he would be like the Most High. And so, especially in these days, as we get closer and closer to the appearance of the Son of Perdition, who according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is going to exalt himself as God, flattering himself in his own eyes, and all the while, flattering to get exalted as God and worshiped as God. For we read in the prophet Daniel concerning this coming Antichrist, also known as the Son of Perdition, in Revelation 13 referred to as the Beast, Daniel chapter 11, verse 20 and 21. Then shall stand up in his estate and raise her tax in the glory of his kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed. Neither anger nor battle. That is actually speaking of a Caesar preceding the Son of Perdition. And here we go, verse 21. And then his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So here we see this prophecy in the book of Daniel concerning the coming Son of Perdition, the beast, as he is called in Revelation 13. And he comes in peace, meaning he obtains the kingdom by flatteries. And, you know, before all said and done, the very devil, the very Satan himself, who has Lucifer flattered himself in his own eyes, declared he'd be like the Most High, will take up residence in the physical body of this sinner, this beast. Even if he took up residence in the very body of Judas himself, Judas Iscariot. And so, we see this matter of flattery, the wicked flattering himself in his own eyes. The flattery originated with the wicked one himself before he fell as Lucifer. And according to this account given in Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer himself was perfect in beauty, that wicked one before he fell. As Lucifer, he was perfect in beauty. So safe to say, Lucifer, like many a lady today, flattered himself by way of his own beauty. Speaking of which, Proverbs chapter 7 has something to say about a flattered woman. Proverbs chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thy eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Here it is, verse 5. Then may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Mm-hmm. Previous chapter, Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the proofs of instruction are the way of life. Verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Verse 26, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Mm-hmm. See that? That wicked one, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He has his whorish woman. He has his adulteress who hunts for the precious life. But if you, if I, whoever you are listening to this, you stay under the shelter of God's word, if you walk in the fear of the Lord, you will be kept from her flattery, you'll be kept from her seduction. According to the word of God, again back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not a change was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. And his brothers were righteous. Now, the Lord showed me recently one sure indication that you are dealing with a flattering spirit through someone. Is if they commend you for being something good, such as a good Christian, but they themselves don't make any effort to be what they commend you for. That is a sure indication that you are dealing with a flattering spirit. Because if it was anything but a flattering spirit, they would be trying to be the very thing they commend you for. They're out seeking God sincerely to help them be the very thing that they commend you for. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Mm-hmm. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Mm-hmm. You know, when I consider Cain and Abel, I can imagine Cain just telling Abel what an excellent sacrifice he was offering God. Even as Abel, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but which Cain witnessed that he was righteous, God testified him his gifts. And by he being dead, yet speaking. See, Cain, I could mention him flattering Abel. He was able to offer the very thing that God expected, and that was an offering that included the shedding of blood. I can imagine Cain commending Abel. I was flattering him in such commending. And yet, turning right around and offering the fruit of the ground, something that Cain knew very well, his mommy and his dad, Adam and Eve, did not teach him. That's not what they were taught of God. But again, once you're a sign, once you're an indication that you're dealing with a flattering spirit, having someone that commends you with their mouth, but in their heart condemns you, is that they don't try to do the very thing they commend you for doing. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verse 35 down through verse 39. And they remember, speaking of Israel, and they remember that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Oh, but praise be to God, thank him for his mercy, for it is written, but he, God, being full of compassion, who gave their iniquity and destroyed them not, many a time he turned his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. Verse 39, for you remember they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. Oh, Israel, they flattered their God with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. The prophet Isaiah, God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, put it like this. Isaiah chapter 29, starting in verse 11, reading down through verse 14. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their heart, and their fear toward me, is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Go ahead and read verse 15 too. Woe unto men that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? What did we read not long ago in the context of Psalm 36, verse 4, I believe it was? Yes, verse 4, Psalm 36. He deviseth mischief, speaking of the wicked, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Yeah. All the while, he seeks to hide his counsel from the Lord, as though it's possible for God to not see it. It's a fool that thinks he can hide anything from God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, with the old book of Proverbs, beholding the evil and the good. But all, yeah, Israel flattered their God. They drew nigh to him with their mouth. Their heart was far from him. Talk about Laodicea. Talk about Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. Lukewarm. Oh, they were hot. Maybe, perhaps, they were hot when it came to speech towards God. When it came to their heart, they were cold. or cold. You put hot and cold together, get lukewarm. So even as Israel of old drew nigh unto God with their mouth, their heart was far from him. So, the Laodicean church, spoken of in Revelation chapter 3, draws nigh unto God with their mouth, their heart was far from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, the book of Jude, 14 through 18. Jude, starting in verse 14, reading down through verse 18. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, your Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great, swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, for every single word which was spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19 is on to say, describing these sinners walking after their own ungodly lusts, these mockers. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Verse 16 again. These are rumors, complainers, walking after their own lust. Here it is. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words.
Hello.
Flattery. Beware if somebody comes up to you and talks about how they're so proud of you. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words. And remember, Judas himself, even as he was betraying Christ, did so with a kiss. Reminded of how the book of Titus described those that profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. We're told in Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, if any man love God, the same will be known of him. If you truly love God, if I truly love God, we're not going to have to tell anybody. It will be known without us having to tell anybody. And besides that, God's word says, let another man praise you, not thine own lips. Praising of yourself, flattering yourself, wicked. Take the prophecy to rebuke the man afterwards, shall not find more favor than he that flattereth with the lips. Yeah, you rebuke a man. If you rebuke a woman when he or she needs to be rebuked, as the Spirit of God leads. You're likely to be cheated for it. You may very well be cheated for it, especially if that individual does not have a teachable spirit. But remember, he rebukes the man. Drop your words, find more favor than even flatter with the lips.
Come on now.
And at the end of the day, when all's said and done, who are you going to be faithful to? Whose favor are you going to be more concerned with? God's or man's?
Well.
At the end of the day, when all is said and done, I just want to hear my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
All right now.
Whatever men want to say, let them say. As one brother said, he said, well, our life is not a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Psalm 79, verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins For thy name's sake. Has your iniquities, dear listener, been purged by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world? The Word of God declares the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, the sin of idolatry.
Yeah.
To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Another thing about individuals who like to flatter themselves in their own eyes, they're very quick to want to offer up sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and all the while they're rebels against the Word of God.
Come on now. Come on. Come on.
I just
now.
To have an experience with one such individual. Well, I'm off the phone on me because I asked him a question that I'll ask any charismatic who listens to this message. What tongues give you that Jesus Christ is not sufficient to give you? That the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me just say, all you can do is hang up the phone or turn off this message. So I'm not talking to you over the phone. All you can do is turn off this message and not answer that question. Your own heart, along with the Holy Spirit, has condemned you in the matter.
That sounds like what I said on
the list. In Jesus Christ, and in him alone, will be one of the many to whom he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you didn't work iniquity.
Come on, now you're preaching like I did.
You know, it just so happens, ironically enough, this gentleman who owned the head after I asked him that question, he even testified to a friend of ours that those verses in Matthew 7 troubled him. Well, I wonder why. Talking in tongues instead of Jesus Christ, no wonder.
Come on.
Didn't we sing a song earlier? Saved by the blood? Saved by the blood, not saved by tongues.
Yeah.
But, again, he that hath the Son of Jesus Christ hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, you can have charismatic tongues all you want. You don't got the Son, don't got Jesus Christ, you don't have life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Yeah.
So you believe you can lose salvation. How do you know you have eternal life? So you know you have today. Don't know if you have it tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to have it tomorrow. Are you the least bit fearful at the thought of losing it? If not, there's a very good likelihood you don't fear God. But then again, if you're truly trusting in Jesus Christ alone, and not tongues, and not your works, you know you have no reason to fear, because the Word of God declares, I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Yes, yes.
Book of Hebrews makes it clear. When we think of this matter of being purged of our iniquities, our sins, Book of Hebrews declares, chapter 1, verse 1, God will consider time and in divers manners, sake and time past, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that holding all things to the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent sacrifice than that.
Yes.
I love how God uses that word purged. It seems before the foundation of the world, he, of course, knowing all things, knew that the devil was going to come up with some false doctrine based on the myth called purgatory. And Jesus knew all the purgatory. So if you're listening to this and you're Roman Catholic, I can tell you all the more that purgatory isn't necessary. It doesn't exist. Jesus said, before he gave the ghost on the cross, it is finished. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. None of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. If you're listening to this and you're saved, would you please pray for a gentleman by the name of Anthony? I've been sending him a verse or two. I'll be in a pack anywhere from 1 to 3 verses. Every week for the last, I'd say 3 weeks now. And this past week, the Spirit of God led me to send him the Hebrews 9:27-28. And that is appointed that the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men. And again, he responded like he pretty much always responds, thanking me as his brother. And though we're not spiritually brothers at the moment, I pray by the grace of God that would change. But nevertheless, if you pray for Anthony, it's Roman Catholic, gentlemen. Well, let's get together with sometime. But, anyways, God's will be done there in terms of us getting together. But to you all, the Word of God declares that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, homeowners, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall depart from the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One lie is all it takes to make you a liar.
Yes.
And you're the lake of fire, and if you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is where you are currently going. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Yes. Through him. Speaking of Adam, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Speaking of Christ, Jesus, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Word of God declares, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're listening to this and you are new age, you're Mormon, you better stop flattering yourself in your own eyes that you're some God or going to be some God, and you just best believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as God alone manifest in the flesh, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're told in the book of Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is continued to the flesh hath found? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, yet whereof the glory but not before God. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The only thing you're going to earn as a sinner is greater damnation in the lake of fire. You must trust in Jesus Christ alone, his finished work on the cross for your redemption, for your salvation from sin, death, hell, and the lake of fire. Even the demon also describes the blessedness of the man of whom God imputes righteousness without works. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Jesus Christ declared, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, but the same abiding Lord over all is rich unto all. Call upon him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, St. John declares, these things are written. You may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. To as many as received him, and then gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians. All but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.